took them down there. A few apples.
Care defend. be with you one more time, my brethren, pray. As you see, I'm rather hoarse this morning, but it won't make any difference if the Lord is in the matter. One day this week, yesterday, I believe, I was awakened about the time I awoke. The scripture found in first chapter of Philippians came into my mind, and I looked it up to be certain of its the way it reads, and it's in, I found it to be in the first chapter. I know that I have often referred to this, but if the Lord is in the matter, there are many beautiful, wonderful, glorious things in this matter, and in this writing of the apostle, that is wonderful in the experience of the Lord's people. I'll read the first seven verses of the first chapter of Philippians. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishop and deacon. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I have longed after you all, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It's reading, I believe, seven verses of the first chapter of Philippians. Now may we look to the Lord in the way of prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank thee that thou hast enabled us to be gathered together this morning. We pray thee that thou would send forth thy Spirit into our hearts to enable us to worship thee as art worshipped in spirit and in truth, and enable us to exalt, praise, and adore, and lift up thy name above every name that has ever been named. We feel, O Lord, to have so much to give thanks to thee for, because thou hast condescended into the hearts and into the very being of thy people from early days and continues to this day to send forth thy Spirit into the hearts of thy people that thou hast chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began, and has brought us out of darkness into thy marvelous light. We did not know that we were in darkness until thou wast pleased to quicken us and to make us realize that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. But thou didst send forth thy Spirit into our hearts, bringing us out of that darkness, showing unto us that in us that is in our flesh there was no good thing. But thou wast pleased also, O Lord, as thou saidst to thy servant of old, one who came to thee of old, and thou didst say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We pray thee, Father, according to thy will, because we know that thou doest all things according to thy will. Whatever thy will is, we desire to be done, whether thou art pleased to give us liberty through thy Spirit to worship thee and to speak in thy great name, or to rejoice in the wonderful and glorious things that thou hast done for thy people. we know that thy will is done, whether we are given liberty or not, because we know that thou doest all things right. Look upon us, therefore, O Father, because we are in a wicked world, and thou hast made us to realize and to know that in us, that is our flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And so we cannot condemn the world, because we know that we are condemned also. But we realize that we would not have known our condition as it really is, was, in thy sight, except that thou wast pleased to quicken us. While we were dead, thou didst quicken us. We were dead in trespasses and in sins, quickened us to know what we were, quickened us to reveal in our hearts that thou hast loved us together with all of thy people with an everlasting love. And it is because that thou hast done these wonderful and glorious, gracious things to us that we desire, we're given the desire, and we humbly hope with thy spirit, to meet together, to hear thy word proclaimed, and if it is thy will, to give us hearing ears and understanding hearts, that we may praise, adore, and exalt thy great name. O Lord, we pray thy mercies upon us, because we have no strength of our own, only the things that are revealed to us in thy mercy, bringing us out of the darkness we were in. We pray thee, Father, to remember thy people everywhere. They are scattered throughout the whole world, but thou knowest those that thou hast chosen, thou hast loved. And we pray that thou would send forth thy spirit according to thy will into their heart, and cause them to rejoice in that hope of eternal life that's ours imparted to them. Be with them, therefore, thy people, Father, this morning, wherever they are gathered together in thy name. Bless them, Father, that they may speak the truth, contend earnestly for the faith that thou hast once delivered to thy people. And be with us, O Lord, giving us faith that we might run the race that is set before us with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. O Lord, thou knowest what we need. Thou dost not need that we should try to tell thee anything, because thou knowest all things. Thou knowest our needs far better than we know them. We pray, therefore, thy will be done, and that thou would continue to lead us in the right way, in the way that thou wouldst have us to go, and continue to bless thy servants everywhere to contend for the faith that thou hast delivered unto them, and not be drawn aside by every wind of doctrine, but enable them, O Lord, to be faithful in preaching the word. Teach them, reveal to all of us these things that are seem good in thy sight that we should know. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy mercies. We thank thee for the loving kindness and the love and the fellowship that thou hast given us in our hearts for thy people. We pray thee to continue to be with them and with us, and may thy name have all praise and honor and glory. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. The last some months, perhaps some years, I have been concerned about the beginning of things, and have often undertaken to speak of the things that God, of which He is the beginning, because out of God is the beginner of all things. Not only is He has created the heavens and the earth, but also that He has ordained all things that have been and shall be, because it was His eternal will and purpose that it should be that way. We realize full well that we are not capable of understanding except those things which Thou art pleased to reveal to us. All true religion comes unto Thy people from Thy hand by way of revelation, that they may know the truth, as it is in Christ Jesus, and not to be guessing at it, or to contend for something which is not the truth. But we pray thee, Father, to do as it was in the case of Peter, when our blessed Savior said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And we fear to realize, O Lord, and to give thee thanks, that if we're not deceived, thou hast taught us, revealed to us, because all truth must come down from heaven by way of revelation. We have learned so many times that it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is not in man that has a natural understanding to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. So, all true religion and the contending for all the true doctrine of God our Savior comes down from heaven. And thou knowest, my brethren and friends, and the Lord knows what we need, and the Lord knows exactly what we need, and he sends that according to his will and opens it up into our hearts. Now I believe last Sunday, I was exercised in contending that the Lord has revealed to us, poor sinners that we are, in such a wonderful and glorious manner that we know that heaven begins below with the Lord's people, because the Lord reveals in the hearts of his people, not in the whole world, because Jesus was not interested in all of the men of the world. God was not interested, if I may say that, because it's true. But Jesus said, "I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me out of the world." And that's what I have always desired, that the Lord might enable me to preach and to contend for that all that the Lord had loved and chosen in Christ before the world began, sometime, during each individual's life, he sends forth his Spirit into the heart of that individual, being one whom he loved and chose in Christ before the world began. He sends his Spirit into their heart, causes them to realize, first of all, that they are sinners, but God quickens them to know that they're sinners. And I feel to emphasize the fact that God quickens every one of his people to know that they're sinners, and to reveal unto them that he has loved them with an everlasting love. And there's no other way for us to know those things. But God reveals this in the hearts, as I believe I said, in the hearts of every one of those that he chose in Christ Jesus. Now he is a beginning. There's no other one to begin anything. He is the beginning of all things. He made, as I quoted, the heaven and the earth, and I say the fullness thereof, therein. And he has so ordained, before the world began, all the things that we encounter in this natural life, because there's nothing gone wrong to the eternal will and the purpose of God, because he declared, not just knew or saw, but he declared the beginning from the end from the beginning. And so that is a wonderful thing when he brings his Spirit into the hearts of his people who are in their nature dead in sin, having not any spirit except the spirit of man. But he sends forth his Spirit into their hearts, that is, those that he's loved and given to his Son. He sends forth his Spirit into their heart. And while in nature they know only the things of nature, but that when he sends that Spirit into the heart, they know the things of the Spirit, and no longer thereafter, will they contend for the things that they once contended for. No longer will they love the things that they once loved, but the Lord deals graciously. And it is because that God reveals in his time in the hearts of each one of them. It is because that he does that, that I contend, my friends. I don't know whether you've ever heard that or not, but it seems good to me that heaven begins here. In other words, God does not wait till we're dead, buried, and wait till the resurrection, but he begins that work in the hearts of his people. He reveals to them that he is their God and that they are his people. And it is because that he reveals these things to them that we say and we believe that God is the beginner of all things. Not just suggesting something, but that he so sends his spirit into the hearts of his people that they are brought out of darkness. That is, brought to know that they were in darkness and without God and without hope in the world. Now, they didn't know that before. And it is not until the Lord brings them to this new or spiritual birth do they have any inkling even that they were chosen by God the Father before the world began. And so the Lord has fixed all things right. He doesn't leave these things for his people to guess about, but he sends forth his Spirit and reveals, as I quoted, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So all preaching, all doctrine, all truth comes down from heaven. It is indicted in the hearts of the Lord's people. Not only his servants who stand before the Lord's people to preach the gospel, but he reveals in the hearts of each one of the Lord's people, so that when they hear the word of truth, they can say, "Amen, amen, glory unto their God." So what a wonderful God we have, my brethren. Now, I know I'll go aside here for a moment. I know that so many, in fact, all who have not been born of the Spirit of God, they just simply believe that God has left it up to them to do so and so, to believe or not to believe, just as it seems good to the individual. But God doesn't work that way. He sends forth his Spirit into the hearts, not to the whole world. He's not begging and pleading for the whole Adam family to believe that he is a Christ, that salvation is wrought out for them by their own works. But he sends his Spirit into their hearts, lifting them up, bringing them out of that dense darkness that every living soul in this world, in their natures, is surrounded with that darkness. And there's no other way for them to know the truth except it comes by revelation. Now, there are many things in the scriptures that I know that there are many people who from time to time have heard me contend, as I feel earnestly, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And no doubt there are many of them who said, "I don't believe that. That isn't according to what seems right to me." And I might say to them, under certain circumstances, but at one time it didn't seem right to me either. But the Lord began to work. Nothing to boast about. None of us have anything to boast about. We can't be glad because we decided to believe. No, not that. But we are what we are by the grace of God, which was given to us in reality in Christ Jesus before the world began. And doesn't matter how many centuries from that time to now, or even from now to the end of this mortal world, it is not too long, too far distant, too hard for the Lord to continue to do the things and to see that all the things that he declared from the beginning are carried out into the fullness, so that there are no mistakes. There is none, no forgetting by the Spirit of God, because he sends forth his Spirit into our hearts and into the hearts of his people, and they rejoice and are exceedingly glad. Now that people, the Lord has a people, and unto them he reveals the truth. He hasn't revealed the truth unto anybody else but his people, because he has declared that he loved his people with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he calls them. He brings them out. But the children of God have been taught thus by the Spirit of God. They may be sitting next to one another, and one will rejoice at the work of the Spirit of God in his heart, bringing him out of darkness into the marvelous light, while another will not believe or cannot believe the things that the other rejoices in. You know, it says that two should be in the field, one should be taken and the other left. But now my friends and brethren, God knows his people. He never forgets them. He hasn't mixed anything up and sent forth his Spirit into somebody that he didn't choose in Christ before the world began. No, all things are open before him with whom we have to do. Oh, what a gracious God, what a mighty, powerful God he is. And he should create the heavens and the earth, the heaven and the earth, and all the things therein. We begin to think about the multitude of animals, multitude of bugs and so forth in the world. And while I can't understand why some of them are, and yet no doubt in my mind at all but what God had an eternal will and purpose in very the things, the fleas that are on the dog's back, and all of these things, grasshoppers and all of those things, in the eternal wisdom of God, they serve their place. And I'm not ashamed to say that I believe that all things are exactly according to the eternal will and the purpose of God. Now to get back here to this first chapter of Philippians, I feel like I'd like to talk a little bit. I don't want to be very lengthy, but if the Lord is pleased to open it up, I'd like to talk a little bit about the wonderful things that God does, has done, is doing, and will do unto all his people, as long as he has a people here in this world, that he hasn't yet revealed the truth. The world will not come to an end, my friends, until the last one of those that God loved and chose in his Son before the world began, the last one of those are exercised of the Spirit of God and given hope of eternal life. Now, I've often said that hope is the most wonderful thing that I know anything about, but to so many people that don't know hope, they don't believe hope, they don't want to know hope, they say that hope, well, some people hope so and so, that isn't strong enough. But my brethren, hope that the Lord gives and puts in the hearts of his people, that is plenty strong. As the apostle said, as I've often quoted to you, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Yes, he promised that before the world began. In Christ Jesus, it's in him that he gives us hope. And so hope is something, my brethren, that is not just guessing at it, but it is something concrete. It is something that is sure, steadfast, and sure, because it is the way that God deals with his people, convicting them, teaching them that they're sinners, but he brings them out of darkness and into the marvelous light. And so Paul said, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Now, I know that the Lord enabled his servants to write this book. Every one of these epistles were written unto the household of faith, unto the Lord's own people, those whom he has revealed the truth in the heart. I saw that when they read these things in the book that God inspired his servants to write, they say amen, and knowing full well that this is the work of God in their hearts. And so none of these things here, none of these epistles, none of these things, not a single one of them, are written unto the unregenerated person, as if I hear it, as I do hear it often, as if they by reading are by hearing somebody preach that they may believe. No, it can't come that way, because the Lord sends forth his Spirit. He quickens them who are dead, and he sends forth his Spirit into their hearts, and he awakens them and brings them out of darkness into the marvelous light, so that the things they once thought were perfect, they thought were God honoring, they thought that. But when the Spirit of God implants the truth in the hearts of the Lord's people, they see how far from being right or the truth was in their hearts. And actually, I know some of you will actually wonder, why in the world couldn't I see this before? You can't. Absolutely impossible. Must be a revelation. Must be. There's no other way. Now, I stand here, and other men, hundreds of others, I hope, standing here this morning, standing in the churches or before the brethren. Now, I'm the hope that God will bless them to preach the truth. Not to be afraid, not ashamed of what the Lord has revealed, because he reveals the truth. He's the only one that does. And when we say that salvation belongs unto those that the Lord chose in Christ Jesus before the world began, we're telling the things that the Spirit of God has taught us and written here in this book. But if we say that God wants, as we hear so often, God wants men to believe, God wants men to accept these things, but he won't do it. Lots of them won't do it. My brethren, that's a falsehood. Because whatever God wants, whatever is his will, he is so powerful that he overturns the carnal will and the mind of men, shows them how far away from the truth they are in that condition, and reveals to them Jesus as their Savior. And so he's the beginner of it. Now, some people say, well, what are you going to do? Is to believe, accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, absolutely impossible for one to bring himself to see himself as being a needy creature. It's impossible. So the Spirit of God is sent into the hearts of each one of his people, convicting them that were dead in trespasses and in sins. But God so works. Yes, it's sometimes, you know, the hymn we sing, sometimes a life surprises the Christian while he sings. What a wonderful thing out of person, what a wonderful God out of God is. That he knows his people. He knows every one of them. He hasn't forgotten the one. In some way, his people's names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. I don't understand that expression, but I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed to give that quotation, because the Lord knows his people, every one of them. And he sends forth his Spirit, as I've said, into their hearts in his, that is, God's own time. Now, you can't, I can't, nobody can hurry up these things, because the Lord is running on scheduled time. Has been, will be, all the way through, so that all things are falling out according to his eternal will and the purpose and accomplishing the very thing that God determined it should accomplish. But here he said, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So this matter here was sent forth to all the saints and in Christ Jesus, with the bishops and the deacons. So it is sent to the church of God only, and in this case, to those that were at Philippi. But the very same thing that the Spirit sends to one church is Philippi in this case, or Hebrews in another case. It is applicable, my brethren and friends, to every child of God, so that there's not one thing that is given to the Philippians, another thing that is given to the Hebrews, not to the Romans, but whatever God gives to one of his churches, one of his people, it applies equally well and surely in the hearts of every one of those that the Lord has loved and chosen his son. Now he says, grace unto you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Some of you visit a good many of the churches. I have, of course. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you behold the brethren as they come in to the meeting house, greeting each other, in some wonderful way with that holy kiss. Fellowship, yes, fellowship. And you see the love, you see the peace. And the apostle said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more wonderful, my brother. And yet we often see going on at this very time, no doubt, in the churches, that these things are not as they should be. But everything is according to the will of God, and when his will to change it, he's powerful enough to speak in the hearts of those who oppose themselves, really. And he would change them according to his will. So, he said, Paul here and Timothy, he said, grace to you, peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's where the peace comes from. Yes, it comes into the hearts of the Lord's people. And then he says here, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Don't you? I know you do, some of you that attend the meetings other places often, some don't so much. But I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making frequent and making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. It's a wonderful thing. We went to the One Day Association held at Webster Church. A large congregation was there. And so far as I could see, there was love and fellowship manifested among those people there. Many of those that we used to know when Elder Leffers lived, after he lived, it had been a long time since we saw some of them, but they looked just wonderful, my friends and brethren, as it did the last time that we were there and in the meeting with those brethren and friends. And so our hearts not only goes out to the brethren here in this part of the country, are the brethren that I come in contact with every month, practically every month, but our love, fellowship, and wishes go out to the large people wherever they may be, as you see the apostle witnesses here. Now, why? There's a reason. There's a reason that the apostle desired these things. There's a reason that you love the brethren, and that reason is because the Lord has revealed to you, if you love the brethren, if you love the doctrine, it is because God has revealed it to you. And Paul knew. He was personally acquainted with these there in Philippi, and he knew that the Lord had taught them, and they contended earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now he says this, being confident of this very thing. Think about that. being confident of this very thing, a definite thing, a very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, he that begins has begun a good work in you will perform it. Not just to put it in your heart, say, now you do that. No, not that. But I am confident, my brethren, that the Lord, when he brings his people out of darkness into the marvelous light, he gives them grace, he leads them by his Spirit, so that they realize that a work, a good work, has been wrought in them, begun in them, and that the Lord will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we're not turned loose. We're not, I know some months ago I mentioned it here, then somebody said down in around Danville, some Armenian preacher got into the newspaper several, a good many times, that there were some people that believed that what is to be will be, and some people that believed that, that said that he knew that some here that was but believed that there was no falling from grace. That's not exactly the language that he used, perhaps, but he believed that it was possible, and he talked like he knew it was true, that some had been saved, maybe had been saved by his definition of being saved, but that they didn't live the right life, and therefore they fell away. But my brethren, that never has been a child of God, that God loved before the world began, chose him in Christ Jesus, and for whom Jesus died, he's never fallen away. There's no such thing as falling from grace. The only definition, the only thing that suits me is to say that some fall for the lack of grace. Not from grace, but because they don't have it. And I think you will find that that's just exactly the way it is. Because what kind of a God would it be? What kind of a Savior would it be that hanged upon the tree of the cross, died for the sake of Jesus said to his Father, Father, I have finished the work I gave me to do. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Have you ever looked back over your life, my friends, you that have thought that the Lord has taught you in your heart? Have you ever looked back and considered, I know you have? What a wonderful thing it is that such a worm as you were, such a worm as I found that I was, it was shown to me, and yet God loved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder what kind of a Jesus many people, what kind of a God of Christ many people have. That Jesus said, I finished the work. The Father sent him here into this world, gave his people to him, and he came here to redeem them by the sacrifice of himself. And yet, there are thousands, no doubt millions, that believe that the whole thing is in our hands and we must do, or else we ought to fall from grace and be lost. Yes, it's impossible. And I'm not ashamed, I'm not afraid, my friends and brethren. Somehow I have a godly holiness, not holiness of course, but godly desire that I might contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Whether people believe it or whether they don't believe it, I desire that I might contend earnestly for these things, preaching the things and declaring the things that it was taught me, if I'm not deceived, many, many years ago. And those sayings are just as precious to me today as they were in that day. Because I haven't grown better. I haven't kept myself better than I used to. No, not that. But my brethren, each one of the Lord's people are kept by his power through faith. Yes, he is the Savior. And he gives them faith. Faith to believe. Sometimes I feel I don't have any faith sometimes. But at other times, I fear, my brethren, that as it was with Paul in writing to the Hebrews, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run the race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes, it isn't. Faith isn't something that you and I can just say, yeah, I believe that. It's far more wonderful, deeper, more powerful than that, because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Many so-called preachers are standing today, no doubt quite at this hour, telling people that all you have to do is to believe it. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Accept him as your personal Savior. But if that's all that goes on in the sinner's heart, he never knows what it is to be saved by the grace of God. Because by faith he's saved, by grace he's saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. Notice it. It is a gift of God. So it's a gift of God that we believe. Yes, and it begun in the eternal will and the purpose of God before the world began. It came my time, if I'm not deceived. It came your time. If you have been brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light, it came your time. And God sent forth his Spirit into your heart. And I say to you that that Spirit was so powerful, regardless of what you may have once believed, regardless of how powerful you may have once believed that you were, and that you had done good enough things that the Lord would remember you in mercy, I tell you, when that Spirit is sent into your heart, all of that self-righteousness is removed, and that subject will fall down upon his knees or stand wherever he may be and thank God that he has looked upon him with pity and compassion and given him hope of eternal life. And so all preaching, all truth comes from heaven. This Bible is the truth. Paul, you know, said he's not ashamed of the gospel, but it is the power of God and the salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that's the gospel. It's the power of God. Now, are we going to deny the power of God? I say, as long as people won't deny his power. But those who preaching and have never come under the saving grace of God, never had his sins revealed to him, never been quickened, who are dead, never been quickened, they will say, well, sure, the Lord leaves these things up to you, and you must do it, else you're going to be lost. Well, that isn't the kind of God, that isn't the kind of Savior that you know something about, is it? No. You know something about a Savior. I mean, God is all-powerful. A God that works his will in heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand. And so, people, I don't hear anybody outside of those that I believe and understand and have been taught the Lord. I don't hear them talking about the election of grace, the choice of God. No, they don't. It must be, if I speak plainly, it must be that they don't talk about the election of grace because they have no evidence in their hearts that they are included in the election of grace. Therefore, they can preach. I received Jesus Christ. I believed on him. Therefore, all is well. They don't want to preach, which the truth must be when it is preached, is that God chose his people in Christ Jesus before the world began. He blesses them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose them in him before the world began. And so the apostle said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Why do you get lonesome? Do you get weary? Do you feel like the Lord has been gone forever sometimes? No, he hasn't. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten. He never forsake you. He loved his people with an everlasting love. And there's no other name under heaven given. You remember this quoted, given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus, his salvation. He is the Savior. He it is that sends forth and comes forth in the spirit of the matter into the hearts of all of the Lord's people. So he will perform it. Perform it. If you get low down, feel like that he's clean, gone forever, as David did, you remember, is the Lord clean, gone forever? Has he begun to be gracious? Have you ever gotten that way? I hope you have. It isn't very pleasant, but I hope you have, because what a beautiful, wonderful, glorious thing it is when the Lord has wrought in your heart, when he gives you to doubt and to fear and to tremble, and then opens up to you that I have never forsaken thee. Lo, I have been with thee all the way. So even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all, in the bowels of Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Brethren, friends, do we not have a wonderful, gracious, glorious, almighty Father, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and these things are just made exactly as he had determined they should be made. This world of ours is in the turmoil now, but let us not forget that God is still ruling, still reigning. And there were many battles in the Old Testament, many battles that the Lord directed. There are many battles in the world today, but the Lord directs them. I believe that. And I don't understand why, but it's his business, and he does that. But the time is going to come, my brethren, when all the wars, all the doubts and the fear and trembling that you, as the people of God, have, they're going to be resolved, they're going to be taken away, and we're going to come into the very presence of our blessed Savior, because our God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Yes, we come into this world on scheduled time. We leave this world on scheduled time. And I have this faith, my friends, and belief that though we have many doubts and fears and wonderments about death, and yet it seems to me that he who has loved us with an everlasting love, he will stand by us in the hour of death, so that we may confidently go forth believing. Believing, yes, by giving faith, that we shall one day, in God's time, be conformed to the image of Jesus, and heaven will be our home, and we will then be enabled to praise, to adore his great and holy name forever and forever. May the Lord be with you. Turn to page 124, the only hymn on the page. I'd like to say for us to sing all of it, but it's rather lengthy. So I will say the first three and the last verses of this, how firm the foundation, ye saints of the Lord, it laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus are refuge have fled? Are we saying now it's an open door for reception of men? Let us stand. Request sake. Amen.